In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the book, The Role of the Priest of the Kingdom of the Divine Will, and we're in the midst of the Archbishop of Trani, Barletta Biscaglia in Nazareth. Now, why it's Nazareth during when the Muslims came in and took over Israel, the church, now think about this, the church gave to the Archbishop of Trani, Barletta Biscaglia, the area of Nazareth. It was the titular diocese. And because no one could be in Nazareth, and you can see God's plan in this here. Nazareth, the birth of Christ, and now Corrado, if you want to say, the birth of Luisa. It's like the Lord just loved her so much that he directed everything in the church. Everything points to the divine will. Everything points to the divine will. So on December 6, 1915 to October 4th, 1918, Archbishop Giovanni Regini was the bishop. It was during the year 1917 that the new Archbishop of Trani came, perhaps influenced on the part of the clergy, who not only attracted no importance at all to all that was happening to Luisa, but openly manifested their hostility towards the servant of God. So he was greeted, the Archbishop was greeted by a priest who says, you know, don't have anything to do with Luisa Picaretta. It's just, it's typical, you know, the what God wants for his church is fought. I remember, you know, with St. Francis, he was kicked out of his order. St. John of the Cross was kicked out of his order. It's always, there's always this rebellion, you know, that's going on. And so he established a very severe decree with regards to Luisa. Priests were prohibited from entering Luisa's house and from celebrating Holy Mass there. This was a privilege that had been granted to Luisa by Pope Leo XIII and confirmed by Pope Pius X in 1907. So it's almost like out of a jealousy, you know, there was this animosity. And so what happens? This measure was to be read out to all the churches of the diocese. And this is what happened. Well, the Archbishop was signing the famous decree. He suddenly was afflicted by a partial paralysis on the right side, which means he couldn't speak. And when the priests present at that moment came to his help, he made them understand that See, it was that whole thing with Zechariah. He had to get something to write down so that so he could be understood. He made them understand what he wanted, that he wanted to be taken to Luisa's house. So Aunt Rosaria, this is Father Bucci's aunt, she took care of Luisa for 40 years, described this unusual episode in this way. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning when we heard the sound of the carriage that had stopped right outside the porch of Luisa's house. And she said, Aunt Rosaria, looked out from the balcony to see who it was. And I saw three priests, one of them, as it were, supported by the other two. So here's the bishop and two priests. Luisa said to me, open the door. She says, the bishop is coming. So here, Luisa knew it was the bishop she never got to the window. She was in bed. But Aunt Rosaria saw this. He says, open the door. The bishop is coming. In fact, the archbishop was at the door, supported by the two other priests and probably the vicar and the chancellor of the Curia of Trani. And the bishop was uttering incomprehensible words, which was immediately ushered into Luisa's room. She was immediately ushered into Luisa's room. And it was his first visit to the home of the servant of God, who as soon as she saw him, she said, bless me, Your Excellency. So the very first, she knows he's at the door. She knows she wants his blessing. So the bishop raises his right hand. He couldn't do it before, as though nothing had happened, and he blessed her. And he was completely cured, completely healed. Now, this is something that I remember when, in I think it was
We went down to Costa Rica with a tribunal to the first International Congress. And while we were in Costa Rica, somebody came in and robbed Luis's room. They took everything out of Luis's room. So when the Archbishop came back, this is Archbishop Casati, when he came back, he put out a public statement. He says, I want you to know that whoever has taken this, you have to understand this. The devil was always there attacking Luisa and trying to hurt Luisa. And you're trying to hurt Luisa. So you have basically in your homes things that are going to attract the devil, you know. And what happened was over that weekend, everything came back. Everybody, they knew the power of Luisa. And, you know, here they are. Here there's still this nonsense going on. And it was funny. So we were astonished because how quickly everything came back. So the Archbishop remained in Luisa's room in a secret conversation for about 2 hours. And to the wonder of all, especially the priests, he emerged from Luisa's room smiling, and he blessed those present and left. An effort to this spirit, so it remained. As long as he was in Trani, Archbishop regularly visited Luisa Picaretta, with whom he would have spiritual conversations. And this episode inspired a sacred fear in the clergy. And Luisa's holy confessor, Father Gennaro, was able to continue his ministry more peacefully. And after the event, even St. Honorable de Francia could visit Luisa more often. So here is something that I've seen. I've seen people see the divine will, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven is one of the three divine decrees of God. This is what Jesus tells Luisa. The first decree was creation. The second decree was the incarnation and redemption of mankind, the kingdom of redemption. The third is the kingdom of the fiat. And Jesus says, no one is going to prevent this. No one is going to prevent this. And anyone who tries to prevent it, Jesus says, I will stop them. He says, this is a divine decree. This is what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have decreed for mankind. And we are now entering, we've now entered into that third fiat, the era of sanctification. And so there is a holy fear, a holy fear that I've seen some very interesting things where the evil one doesn't want this to happen, but he can't stop it. He can't stop it. And we'll hear more about how important this is, but this is a divine, as creation was a divine decree, as redemption is a divine decree, sanctification is a divine decree. It's going to happen, and no one is going to stay in its way. As a matter of fact, the evil one, for sanctification to really take effect, is going to have to leave. So what's coming is so amazing. What's coming is so astonishing. And as you read the Book of Heaven, Jesus begins to explain more and more in detail of why and how this has to happen, why this is the plan of God. So now the Cardinal Palazzini, he was the prefect of the Congregation of the Causes of the Saints. And this is from Father Bucci. When I worked with the Archbishop Giuseppe Carata of Trani to promote the start of the diocesan cause of the Servant of God, he sent me to have several meetings with Cardinal Palazzini, who at that time was the prefect of the Congregation for the Causes of the Saints. Now it's interesting. That was where Archbishop Casati was before he became Archbishop of Trani. He worked for the causes of the canonization of saints. And he came to Italy. I mean, he came to Italy. He came to Corrado to really help begin the cause. And he did begin the cause. He was a great, great Archbishop. A great man, a kind man, a gentleman, but you didn't want to interfere with what he knew he had to do, you know, be basically bringing the Servant of God to the altar of God. So he says, when I, Father Bucci, worked, he says, I had several meetings with Cardinal Palazzini, who at the time was the prefect of the Congregation of the Saints. During the various meetings that I had with him, He confided to me that he learned about Luisa Picaretta and her spirituality by his dear teacher and friend, Cardinal Cento. Now, Cardinal Cento, I think we talked about him earlier. Again, a great man. What you're seeing is everyone who met Luisa, except for those who didn't want to meet Luisa, everyone who met Luisa was touched by her holiness and her spirituality. And this is now, you know, what we find in the Book of Heaven. So this is what he said. Cardinal Palazzini referred to Luisa as the dear Luisa, the dear Luisa. His thoughts on the servant of God were impressed in my mind, Father Bucci said, by raising of dear Luisa to the honors of the altar would be a benefit for the whole church because of the novelty and depth doctrine that has always been accepted by the church. And if there are any imperfections in her writings, it's up to us to correct them. Now, what were her imperfections? When you read her writings, she did not put periods and commas or capitalizations. She was a simple soul, and she was just writing what Jesus said to her. And so these are the imperfections in her writings. It wasn't any theological and nothing theological. As a matter of fact, Jesus says to Luisa that they will read everything and find nothing against the teachings, the morals, the teaching of the church. Nothing is going to be out of order. So it says, and as a matter of fact, Archbishop Picheri said in one of his last letters, he said, anyone who says that there's heresies in Luisa must stop this immediately. They are hurting the cause of Luisa. Because as the diocese went through it, word by word, phrase by phrase, and they know that there's no imperfections. So again, there are some people, unfortunately, they're just not, I don't know what they're doing, but they're causing trouble. And it's the bad part about that is, as Jesus said, if you're causing trouble, the Lord will deal with those people. And that's not a nice thing to even to think about. Because he says this has to happen. The kingdom has to come on earth as it is in heaven. The Our Father has to be known the way Jesus wants it to be known. And that's why he spoke to Luisa. So this has always been accepted by a church. And if there's any imperfections in her writings, it's up to us to correct them because Luisa is neither a theologian nor a philosopher. And we do not accept her understanding of the exposition of the theological and physiological concepts. So she was a very simple soul who wrote. They did the same thing with Saint Faustina's writings. They went through and made corrections. And the wonderful thing that we have now is the person that does our translations and the Vicar General said they are the best translations that they have. And she knows the Apulian dialect, and it's much different than the Roman dialect. It's almost like a foreign language. So the one who translates for us, she says that when I read the writings, I hear my grandmother speaking. I know what she's saying. She understands very, very clearly. So we have great translations. At this point, I can't wait for the official translations. That to me is going to be wonderful. And we're going to hear from the next cardinal. He said to the International Congress of the 150th anniversary of Luisa's birth, he said publicly to Archbishop Picheri, he says, all the writings of Luisa must be translated in all languages, you know, and the Archbishop just nodded his head, yes, but never got them done because of, it's very expensive to get them translated into all languages. So here, the writings of Picaretta, this is the cardinal, the writings of Luisa are a brilliant deepening of the prayer of the Our Father. And in particular, the sentence, thy will be done will be done as in heaven, so on earth. The entire spirituality of Luisa is focused on this prayer. So that's one of the most beautiful things to read what Jesus meant. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's so wonderful. One thing is certain that the dear Luisa is totally submissive to the authority of the priesthood, and you cannot think of Luisa as ever being outside of the magisterium of the church. Now, here's a cardinal who, I mean, this is before Vatican II, basically, and here's a cardinal who says very, very clearly, this is necessary that we understand that everything the church has taught is found, there's nothing contrary to what Luisa is doing. And now Cardinal Jose Martins, we met him. He was a very, very powerful cardinal, very gentle, very loving, very beautiful cardinal. And he was at the in Corrado at April 23rd, 2015, the 4th International Congress on the Servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, on the occasion of her 150th anniversary of her birth. And he gave a talk on the church in the divine will. It's everything's going to change. I mean, it's not what I mean. It's going to change for the better. It's going to change for the good. There's not going to be anything that's going to prevent sanctification from coming to the earth. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket. So he says, I have been impressed by two elements which characterizes this first day in the life of Luisa. So he's in the church, Our Lady of the Greca Church, and he's talking. The first element is that that precisely in this place, with the sacred washing, her baptism, Luisa received the gift of the divine life. And here in this church, you got to go to the church. It's so beautiful. Here has been sown the precious seed of the very holiness of Jesus. Here's a cardinal talking about Luisa, given to Luisa so that it would germinate in her life in conformity to the divine will of Jesus, the divine volition of Jesus, in her daily acts made of prayer and work and so many encounters. Luisa had lived the ordinariness of life in the continuous tensions of asking, even in the smallest of her acts, the presence of Jesus. That's the divine will. The divine will is, come divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come divine will, beat in my heart beating. You're asking the smallest acts that you're doing, done one with Jesus, in the presence of Jesus. We don't abandon him in any way. And that's what Jesus taught Luisa. And slowly God is teaching us that, because we're not Luisa. We are very focused on not exactly the glory of God. We're focused on the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God wants us to leave all that to focus on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So a continuous tension of asking, even in the smallest of her acts, the presence of Jesus. Why? To give to the Father the glory that the Father deserves, the praise and the adoration that all mankind should give to the Father. And that Luisa has done always for us, for all of us, past, present, and future. Now, here is a cardinal who's read her writings, knows her spirituality, and says, this life of Luisa was always did all of her thoughts, words, and deeds in the presence of Jesus. And done this to give the Father all the glory, all the praise, all the honor that the Father deserves. And Luisa has done always for everyone, past, present, and future. So when we learn how to pray the way Luisa prayed, that Jesus taught Luisa, it's the way Jesus prayed. It's the way Mary prayed. What we've learned for 2,000 years is how the saints prayed, how to pray in a saintly, human way. What Jesus is teaching us is how to pray in a saintly, divine way, because it's he, the Lord, is praying in us. So the second element, he says, that I picked from the fact that the calendar, that the 23rd of April, 1865, marked the Sunday in Albus, the second Sunday of Easter. And we know that St. John Paul II, who would consecrate this Sunday to divine mercy, This fact also seems to me like an anticipating sign in the life of Louisa. It points God's mercy. Louisa was born on the feast of God's mercy to the world, even though it was later on in her life. Well, not in her life, but later on in the church, that this became a feast day for us. And what did Jesus say to St. Faustina? The final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Think about Louisa. The final devotion, she's born on this day, Divine Mercy Sunday. We know St. John Paul II would consecrate this Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, to divine mercy. And this, he says, is a fact also that seems to me like an anticipating sign in this life of Louisa. What we're going to discover is everything in Louisa's life, everything in our own lives has been planned by God, and everything that we've gone through, if whether we rebelled against God or not, we all have. God will use those rebellions to refine us, to lead us back to him. So Louisa shows us this typical Dionysianism of God's mercy that attracts the most profound unity with God for transforming the heart in the spring of gushing water for the benefit of all. So here she was confirmed in the parish too, you know, so here you have this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a benefit for everyone. Living like that, even the smallest act of our life participates in the dynamism of mercy concurring with Jesus in bringing his light to all hearts, past, present, and future. To God, to the praise and adoration that every human should give to God, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him. That's why one of the things that's so amazing with our time, John Paul II wanted Eucharistic adoration in every parish. And basically what we learned from Louisa is to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Many times Jesus says to Louisa, promise me that you will never leave me. And Louisa says, I promise you, but you got to promise me that you will always hold me. Don't let me go. So here's this two promises. Louisa promises Louisa never to leave him, and Jesus promises Louisa, I will always hold you. Now, this is something that's important for us. What Jesus teaches Louisa, Louisa teaches us. We should, when we read this, when we read the Book of Heaven, and Jesus says something to Louisa, we should always echo what Jesus taught Louisa. Her response to Jesus. How do we respond to Jesus? You know, it's, do we long for Jesus like Louisa longs for Jesus? Do we seek Jesus as Louisa was seeking Jesus? Do we pray to Jesus the way Louisa prayed to Jesus? It's very, very important that we begin to understand that this is not about being good and holy and saintly. That might be hard to hear. But it's sharing in divinity. That drop of water we're supposed to be is to enter into this new and divine way of holiness, sharing, maybe share in the divinity of Christ. Now, you start out with being good and holy and saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10. But when you get to volume 11 through 19, it's how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's fusing yourself with God. That goes beyond what the saints were taught. And what Jesus says, Louisa, yes, you must become a saint. But more than that, I want you to share in divinity. Now, listen to what these bishops are saying. These bishops, these cardinals are saying, they have read what Louisa has said, what Jesus has told Louisa. And they say, this is going to be great for the church. It's going to be magnificent for the church. Great things are coming. Amazing things are coming. So she says that she concurs with Jesus in bringing his light, his life, his love to all hearts and to the Father, to praise and adore our Heavenly Father the way everyone should be greeting our Heavenly Father, Abba Father. This is It's a glorious time to be alive. It really is to enter into this time of sanctification. And again, nobody's there yet. I mean, there's going to be a great event where God's going to show who's on what side. We don't know who's on what side at this point. That's why we pray for everybody. We pray for everybody. So here he is. He says, the small lady of Southern Italy, who has known alternations of various epidemics, two wars, and has collected so many tears. See, Louisa cried with Jesus and Mary all the time because Jesus would show her the horrible condition of humanity. And it says, so many tears due to the hard conditions of life of contemporaries transformed her own heart, Louisa's heart into a place totally inhabited by God. Here's the priest and here's the cardinal in charge of the saints. Here is a soul whose heart was, these are his words, are totally inhabited. Her heart is totally inhabited by God. So Jesus teaches us the same thing. When you want the divine will, when you desire the divine will, the first thing is your heart becomes his throne. And then every thought, every word, every deed, every act, every round that you make in the divine will is another molecule added to the conception of Jesus in your heart. That's not a fullness. I mean, Louisa spent her entire life. And then 9 years after Jesus stopped speaking to her, you know, for public, he spoke to her, but not for public knowledge. After 9 more years of prayer, of oneness with God, doing her acts, doing her rounds, one with Jesus, one with Mary, then he says, when you're done, you're going to come to heaven with me. As soon as you're done, you're going to come to heaven with me. That's what Jesus promises Louisa. So our job is to focus on this gift and learn how not to miss a moment. That's what Jesus keeps on telling Louisa. Be attentive to what I'm saying to you. Be attentive to what I'm teaching you, Jesus says. Be attentive to the lessons that I'm giving you, Jesus says. And if you do this, not losing a moment, he says the kingdom will happen very quickly. And he says very clearly, I'm waiting for the souls to live in the divine will. I want this more than anything, and then I will give it to the world. He hasn't given it to the world because he hasn't found the souls who want the divine will more than anything. We're just at the beginning of this. And we've got to be consumed in this love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's where Louisa was. So those who have met Louisa have felt themselves attracted from the reality of heaven and driven to live a holy life, totally spent in the ordinary occupations under the model of the family of Nazareth. Those who have met Louisa have felt themselves attracted from the reality of heaven, how heaven is real on earth, if we want it. What does that mean? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts, no more, to the point of no more sin. That hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. The kingdom's coming. So those that have met Louisa, and we meet Louisa, like I've said before, if you haven't read her letters, you're going to meet Louisa. When Jesus is dictating to Louisa, she's putting it down on paper. When Our Lady's dictating to Louisa, she's putting it down on paper. But when you go to her letters, Louisa is talking to you, and it's astonishing. It's amazing. It's amazing because we become aware of the reality of heaven. I asked Father Bucci, what was her eyes like? And he what color were her eyes? And Father Bucci said, look at the Vatican at high noon on a clear day with no clouds. That was the color of her eyes. Now think about that. Here is this small little lady of Southern Italy. And he said, when I would look into her eyes, this is from Father Bucci. He says, it was heaven. It wasn't earthly. It was heaven. She was so in love with God and so one with God. Like he says, her heart, in her own heart, was the totality of God inhabiting it. This is Louisa. And then once you have this reality of heaven, how he puts it, then you're driven. This is the souls who meet Louisa, driven to live a holy life, totally spent in ordinary occupations under the model of the family of Nazareth. And it's not by chance that even Bishop Rhodes of Indiana, who is in charge of Rome City, Indiana, where Our Lady of America appeared, they changed the name of the chapel to the Family of Nazareth Chapel. It's nothing is by chance. Nothing is by chance. Everything is planned by God. And what did Our Lady say to Sister Mary Ephraim? Our Lady said, there'll be more miracles in the United States than at Lourdes and at Fatima combined. More miracles. We haven't seen anything yet. I'm telling you, hang on to your hat. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be bumpy, but God wins. See, we're in this battle between heaven and hell. We're in this battle between God and the devil. We're in this battle between light and darkness. We're in this battle between good and bad. God's going to win. And the more that you read, like right here, the more that you read, Louisa, you're driven to live a holy life, totally spent on your ordinary occupations under the model of the family of Nazareth. It was Jesus and Mary. Joseph was in the presence of the new Adam and of the new Eve. He witnessed this life that the world is going to have. He was chosen to be in their presence. And then 2,000 years later, Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. And now she's teaching us how to not just witness it as Joseph did, but to begin to live in it. This is the thing. And it is properly in the quotation that God's mercy looks for men in order to restore them to the innocence of Eden. We're going back. So you have to understand, we're going back to the Garden of Eden. I remember the first time I witnessed the garden right outside of Louisa's bedroom. And then when you read the first day of volume 26, Jesus says, Louisa, this garden is a simile of the Garden of Eden. It's not as flowery. It's not as beautiful. And basically, we're going back to the garden. We're going back to where God wanted humanity from the beginning. That's what sanctification is all about. That's what the Our Father is all about. May your kingdom come on earth, this dust as it is in heaven, to a life weaved with joy. See, there's no more worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's joy. We're going to go back to the innocence of the Garden of Eden, to a life weaved with joy, to an existence guided by the certainty of being loved children. Jesus says to Louisa, he says, the little children, the holy divine will, he says, are my most precious children. He says, I've waited for these children for 6,000 years. The first generation of the children of light failed. Adam failed. His child killed his child. One of the first children were killed. He killed him. And the first sin on earth was murder. What Jesus is now saying is you're going to go back to where you're going to be the second generation of the children of light. Finally, God's wish for humanity is coming true. By the certainty of being truly loved children of God. What does scripture say? We are now as children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know, but what we do know is we will become like him because we will see him as he is. We're going to see God and become like him. So he says, It is my wish that this Congress, and again, that was 2015, will signal for you a milestone in your journey to what? To sanctity, in the desire to become always more missionaries of that fiat which has brought heaven on earth and earth in heaven. So what is that fiat? The first fiat was fiat lux, let there be light. The second fiat was fiat mihi, God became man because of her yes. And now the fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom could reign in me on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. Remember, man, that thou art dust, this dust. So this is what God is doing. He's getting everyone ready. He's getting ready to be what? Missionaries of that fiat of the Our Father. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which has brought heaven on earth and earth in heaven. And then he ends. May the Virgin Mary, our love protectress, take us through the paths of time and guard us in her maternal heart. Now, the great thing about that is what Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947. She says, time has now come to an end. And Bruno says, the end of the world. She goes, no, this is Our Lady of Revelation. If you haven't seen, if you haven't listened to it yet, if you haven't read about it, you'll be astonished. And again, 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. 40 days after Luisa died, Our Lady descended to earth and said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. She says, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong. That's where we belong. We are going to enter into eternity where we belong. Why? To participate in witnessing the beatific vision. That's heaven. And then she says, the devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space and never be able to enjoy the beatific vision. So this separation is coming, and God is asking us to pray in the name of everyone and everything. So if you're worried about your family, the main thing really we should be doing is praying so that your family begins to live in this new and divine way of holiness. And it's not difficult. That's the thing. It's fiat. When Our Lady said fiat mihi, yes, her yes to God was yes. And God says, good, I'll do the rest of the work. God did 100% of the work. All Our Lady said was yes. It's like when God said fiat lux, God did 100% of the work. The universe was created. And now with the fiat voluntas tua, God is going to do all the work. That's why he keeps on saying to Luisa, Luisa, get out of the way. Let me accomplish what I have planned. Cause she goes, well, how's this going to be? How are we going to do this? What are we going to, I'll take care of it. It's like Our Lady said the same thing. You want me to be the mother of God to the angel? How can I do this? What do I need to do? I've already have a life of virginity. I'm not going to know man. I'm not going to have children. So how can I become the mother of God? And she said, the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Lady said, fiat, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done as you say. That docility, that surrender, that submission of Our Lady has to be us as well. It has to be us. So here's the Archbishop Adazi, okay, from 1947 to 1971. And this is what he prayed. He made her a servant of God within the year of her death. Okay. Oh, merciful heart of my Jesus, for the salvation and sanctification of many souls have deigned to keep for numerous years on earth, your humble servant, Luisa Picaretta, your little daughter of the divine will. Grant my prayer that she be glorified soon by your holy church, and through her intercession, may you, Lord, grant me the grace that I humbly ask of you. And this was the first prayer. And then Archbishop Cassati wrote the second prayer. And the third prayer basically was from Archbishop. All right. So anyway, so this is here's Cassati and Piceri. Thank you. So Archbishop Piceri, So this is a prayer that you can pray. Oh, it was 1948. It was a year after. But everyone knew Luisa is a saint. And Father Bucci said this. Father Bucci said, Luisa was called Luisa the Saint because she is the saint of the divine will. The saint of the divine will. Luisa La Santa. I've met older people. I've met some of the sisters who knew her. And this one little sister, she said, she asked Luisa, am I going to be a nun? I'd like to be a nun. Can I be a nun? And Luisa says, yes, you're going to be a nun. And here, you can see her. If you look at the Dawn of a Mystery, you'll see there wonderful, wonderful sisters who all they do is talk about Luisa. All they do is talk how great Luisa is, how magnificent Luisa is, how joy-filled Luisa was, how Luisa would console anybody that came to her. And she was just so filled. I mean, even as the cardinal said, totally, her heart was totally inhabited by God. And those who met her were driven to live a holy life and model their life after the Holy Family, because that's what Jesus taught Luisa. This Holy Family is the way all our families should be. So again, this is a great time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive, and a lot of things are going to happen. You're going to see a lot of things starting to shake the world. Okay. Not to be afraid. It's God's in charge. God's in charge. And your prayers in the divine will are very, 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 very powerful. And when you learn the command prayer, and the command prayer is very, very easy, Jesus teaches us that, you know, this is what Peter said when he saw Jesus walking on the water. Jesus said, if you're the Messiah, I mean, command me to come to you. Jesus says, come, get out of the boat and come on. So Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking on the water. He's walking on the water. Humans don't walk on the water. But he said, take my prayer and make it your command. Jesus teaches Luisa in the divine will. He says, your prayer becomes a command. How can that happen? Because it's Jesus in you that's praying. It's Jesus in you that's asking. Like remember, if you look at the last chapter of volume 36, Luisa said something to Jesus and Jesus says, it's done. She goes, I just prayed this. How can it be done? And he goes, because it's my prayer and you prayed what I wanted you to pray. See, this is the oneness that we're going to have with Jesus. He's not going to be a Jesus that's 1,000 miles away. As soon as you say, I want to live in the divine will, your heart becomes his throne. And little by little, every act that you do, every round that you do, you're adding on to this conception of Jesus in your heart. This is what Jesus teaches Luisa, so that you one day soon will be able to birth Christ. How? Not like Our Lady, but to let Jesus gaze in your gazing. Let Jesus speak in your speaking. Let Jesus listen in your listening. He says to Luisa, I want you, Luisa, to be my skin. I want to clothe you in divine nobility, that the divine nobility that Adam lost. That's why he was naked. I want to reclothe you in divinity. We're very close to many, many wonderful things happening, and they might be scary, but our trust is in him. Our confidence is in the Lord and Our Lady. And we're going to get closer to Jesus and Mary through Luisa. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.